Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another fantastic audio presentation with Jonathan Doyle from beingcatholic.com.au. It's great to have you with us. Each year, Jonathan reaches tens of thousands of people around the world with a message of hope and change. And we know this presentation will make a real difference in your life and through you, many others. Please take a moment to visit the website at www.beingcatholic.com.au and add your comments to a recent story or share a link with your friends. It's our aim to build a dynamic global community of information and encouragement through the Being Catholic website, and your support by simply passing on the web address to others is crucial. So now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another powerful message with Jonathan Doyle from beingcatholic.com.au.
Well, hi there, Jonathan Doyle. Fantastic to have this opportunity to speak to you personally. Wherever you are listening, you're going to enjoy this. The good people at Cradio have kind of invited me to share some thoughts on a topic that I'm pretty sure you're going to find interesting. How do I know that? Well, do this for me. Take two fingers and put them down. Turn your wrist over and put those two fingers on top near you, where your wrist joins your hand. Now, if you can feel something there, we're going to call that a pulse. If you can feel something there, there's a good chance that you are alive and that you are human. And if you fill those two categories, you're going to love this series of podcasts, because we're going to talk about something that just about every human being it's central to their life. What topic is that? Well, it's the topic of sex, relationships, dating, intimacy, romance. Friends, let's not pretend that these issues aren't central to our experience of being human. Now, I haven't met you personally, but you're going to be in any number of different sort of stages of life. You could be a young person in a dating relationship, or a young person who would like to be in a dating relationship. You know, if you're listening to this, you're going to find some great ideas and tips and strategies to set yourself up for the best possible outcomes long term. You might be somebody in a dating relationship or a long-term relationship, and you want to know how to take that relationship to another level. You might be in a marriage and, you know, it's just not where you want it to be and things need to change. Well, there will be things here for you. You might be somebody contemplating religious life and you might be thinking, well, you know, what's this got to do with me? I doubt you're thinking that, because anybody that's really seriously thinking about religious life in the Catholic Church in, say, this last 10-year block, you've probably been exposed to the teachings of John Paul II. And if that's happened, you already know that the religious vocation, you know, signals something profound about the human body, about intimacy, about our eternal destiny. So what am I selling? I'm selling a podcast for everybody, because we've already proved in a live experiment that you're human, and you know that now. So there's going to be some great stuff here for you. So let's begin. I could go for days. I mean, the people at Cradio are just going to have to cut this in places, because I'm just going to keep going. But essentially, why am I talking about this? How does somebody end up kind of talking passionately about this topic? Well, so far, I've delivered live seminar programs to over 250,000 people. And the other stuff that we do through, you know, various web platforms and things reaches, you know, tens of thousands of people, often weekly. So how did it happen? Well, you know, I guess one of the things I want to share early is that Karen, my wife, and I were lucky to be formed well in our Catholic faith. And our journey of relationship and intimacy was one that was kind of walked out within the heart of the church. And I'm shameless here. I just want to sell the idea that the church has so much wisdom for us, so much to offer us. And it's just, isn't it crazy times? I mean, this is a culture that is absolutely obsessed with sex, sexual intimacy, sexual intercourse, body parts. It's, you know, a culture drowning in internet pornography. You know, somebody just emailed me a couple of minutes ago about their book at the moment, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. And depending on when you're listening to this podcast, you may have heard of this book, you may not. But it's reflecting this kind of huge fascination with explicit sexuality. I mean, what's that about? I mean, what is it in the human person that drives us towards intimacy, sexual intimacy? You know, how do we make sense of all this stuff, especially in a culture that's just, you know, so fascinated by it in often pretty unhealthy ways? I mean, I often think of a quote from the great priest Richard John Newhouse, who died a few years ago. He was the guy that founded the magazine First Things, which is a great religious journal in the US. And he made a comment once that he said, you know, in the Victorian era, you know, we joke about the Victorian era and we sort of say they're all sexually repressed. But he said, in the Victorian era, you know, sex was kind of never discussed, but death was kind of a very public kind of thing, and death was very present to people in multiple different ways, culturally and communally. And he said, the fascinating thing about our generation is that it's a culture that's obsessed with sex, but terrified to talk about death. Now, it sounds curious when you first hear it, isn't it? But what he was getting at was that things like sex and death and life are these profound mysteries that touch on the very core of who we are as human persons. They're deep, deep core aspects of your experience and mine. So what happens in a culture that gets these things profoundly wrong? Well, friends, you know, in the work that I've done in the master's programs, and I've been, you know, had the incredible privilege of doing a second master's program at the John Paul II Institute, you know, you sort of start to really study the evidence. And friends, the sexual revolution is a train wreck. Now, depending on the age that you're listening to this, I mean, some of the stuff that's happened over the last 30, 40 years has just wreaked a trail of havoc straight through the center of the human heart in this culture. That is truly devastating. You know, in 1910, the divorce rate was about 9%. You know, currently in developed nations runs at somewhere around 45 to 47%. So in my work over, you know, months and years, I've kind of seen the impact of so much of what's happening in people's hearts and lives and their experience of sex and relationships. And let's be honest, there'll be many of you listening to this who've had firsthand experience of what it's like to be hurt, to be let down, to be disillusioned, to feel pain. Well, it doesn't actually have to be that way, and there are things that we can truly do. So as these podcasts unfold, we're going to take a journey together into the heart of what's possible. Friends, I've been married almost 12 years now, and we got a beautiful family. And we're not perfect, but I want to give you hope and encouragement that love exists, that there are things that you can do that will bring you joy and happiness, and there are things that you can do that are always going to cause you pain. You know, a speaker once said, you know, there's two ways in life to learn. You can learn from a gentle word, or you can learn from a piece of timber hitting you over the head. You know, it was his way of saying that, you know, you can learn from just reflecting on the wisdom and experience of others, or you can learn from, you know, pain and suffering. And again, in our Catholic tradition, pain and suffering in itself isn't necessarily bad, but you get my point here, don't you? That there is so much wisdom on offer here, particularly at this moment. There's a grace being given in the heart of the church through people like John Paul II, through things like theology of the body, through things like the catechism. There is good stuff happening. And friends, I've been right on the edge of this for years, and the generation of young people coming through, and there's a good chance that if you're listening to this, you're one of them. You know, you're hungry. You're hungry, aren't you? You are hungry for something more. You want genuine love, intimacy, romance, connection. And these things are offered to you. And whatever vocation is going to unfold in your life, these things are on offer. So I want to share with you an opening quote that's came out a few years ago from a guy called David Quinn, who wrote an article in the Irish Catholic newspaper. And listen to his words here. And if you get a chance to listen to this a couple of times, you might want to write these down in a journal. He said, what has not been discussed, listen to his words, what has not been discussed in any of this is the all-important, decisive topic of what sex is about. What is it directed towards? Why does it exist at all? If we don't answer these questions correctly, then we cannot hope to come up with a theory of what true sexual fulfillment is. Maybe you can listen to that again. But isn't that a powerful question? And it is a question that this culture is massively avoiding. You know, in all the years that I've done, you know, high-level conference speaking, professional development stuff, I stand around and go, nobody wants to have this discussion. You know, everyone wants to, you know, I got to appear on national television recently on a debate around pornography and its impact on young people. And part of what I was trying to do was go, no, first questions first. Don't talk about, is pornography bad? Don't talk about, you know, don't try and box us as moralizers. Let's have a mature, intelligent discussion around why does human sexual intimacy even exist? Well, of course, we've got a biological answer to that, you know, the reproduction of the species. But come on, friends, Shakespeare, read Romeo and Juliet. I mean, he wasn't just writing kind of early Darwinism, was he? I mean, the deep movements of the human heart. Why? Well, if you've done any theology of the body, friends, you're going to know that when God says, you know, to Adam, it is not good for the man to be alone. And this moment when he awakes from sleep and standing in front of him is Eve, the preternatural woman. And his response is awe. I always love the way that's explained through people like John Paul. You see this moment in prehistory where Adam kind of cries out at last, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, another I, another person. You know, and Shakespeare's just capturing that in Romeo and Juliet. You go back and watch the Baz Luhrmann film, the first moment where DiCaprio sees Claire Danes, that first moment of recognition. And you draw a line all the way through that to things, again, like theology of the body, when John Paul says, right in the heart of the sexual marital act of sexual intercourse, he says the couples recognize each other. You know what he's saying is that right in the heart of married sexual union, the couple see each other truly as they are. Just the same way that Adam and Eve first encountered each other. So John Paul's saying this stuff is so important because right in the heart of human intimacy and married sexuality, we see this capturing of what happened at the dawn of creation. Big stuff, isn't it? Big stuff. You know, and we're putting up with things like 2.5 men internet pornography, friends. We're drinking from the trough. You know, Michael Casey, I sat in a lecture a few years ago and he sort of said, you know, we've just had 40 years to have a big long drink out of the trough of postmodernism. Are we done yet? I mean, are we done yet? Is it enough? Have we seen enough carnage? Because I have, I mean, seminar after seminar, young women coming up, breaking down crying because they've been steamrolled in another relationship. It doesn't have to be that way. But it's going to continue until we start having these first questions. What does sex exist for? Well, we'll get to that in the weeks ahead. But I want to give you a couple of great opening quotes here that I often get to share in the seminar programs. I've shared these now with so many people and they're really powerful and they're very simple, and I want you to grab a pen and write these down. I want to give you a quote from Chris West, who of course many of you will be familiar with. Chris really pioneered the real social communication of theology of the body. And I want to give you another quote from Roger Scruton, who is arguably the greatest living conservative philosopher. And Scruton has written, you know, a huge amount of work, but I want to give you a really powerful quote. Firstly, from Chris West. Now, he basically said it this way. He said, if you want to discover what is most sacred in the universe, then all you have to do is look around you for what is most frequently and violently profaned. And to profane something means to strip it of its sacred nature. Let me do this with you again. Grab a pen. If you want to discover what's most sacred in the universe, all you have to do is look around you for what is most frequently and violently profaned. My dear friends, open your eyes. What is 2.5 men? What is internet pornography? What is all the stuff you get rammed down your throat every day in different ways, from billboards to newsagents to TV? We're going to take what is profoundly sacred and we're going to make it profane. That is an important piece of communication. It's a clue. It's a clue to something. If you want to discover what's holy, look for what is most frequently attacked and destroyed. It's going to point you somewhere. And the second quote I want to give you from Scruton is even more powerful. I'll give you some background. Often I get to give people this background to Scruton's quote, but it's from his biography, Gentle Regrets. Now, Scruton was divorced, and he talks about this experience of traveling to give a summer school. And he's a brilliant philosopher, and he kind of met this younger woman, and this connection happened, this profound, quite beautiful connection of minds, and you know, the sentiment was growing, and this connection was there. But there was this realization that it probably wouldn't progress to, you know, to a marriage or anything like that. But he expresses quite beautifully this wonderful connection he had with this woman. And he goes on to say something quite beautiful. Listen to these words. He said, "She brought home to me the great truth." Listen to these words. Here it comes. "That sex is either consecration or desecration, with no middle ground in between. And nothing matters more than the rites and rituals by which we lift the body above its earthly existence and reshape it as soul." So listen to the key words again. Sex is either consecration or desecration, with no middle ground in between. That is a profound statement. That's a profound statement. You know, we're playing with big stuff here. In a culture that wants to massively trivialize, we have been given the privilege of an insight and an understanding that we must first internalize ourselves. And once you know this, you cannot keep it to yourself. You need to do two things. You need to live it, and it will cost you and it will be hard. But then you need to communicate it and live it and witness it. Friends, I've so far spoken to 250,000 people. I feel I'm doing my share. I could use a little help. I could use a little help from a generation that starts to live this stuff and that sacrifices for what real love is. Sex is either consecration or desecration, with no middle ground in between. And I'll give you a couple of final quotes on this first short podcast. Introduce you to Peter Kreeft. Now, some of you will have heard of Peter Kreeft. If you haven't, you want to just start digging around a little bit. K-R-E-E-F-T. Listen to this beautiful line here. I've talked a fair bit this time about a culture that trivializes sex. Listen to this quote from Peter Kreeft. "The single most radical result of all the immense amount of sex education that we have had in the last 50 years has not been a new knowledge, but a new ignorance. Ignorance of the most essential thing about sex, the essential meaning and purpose of sex, the very essence of sex." And that is the journey that we want to take. You know, I don't know how many of these presentations I'm going to get to do with you, but all of it is heading in one direction, to finding the true meaning and purpose of human sexuality. And some of you will know that, you know, that there's actually an encyclical document called that, The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality. What's it about, friends? Come on. What have you felt? Look deep into your own experience over the years. You have known attractions. You have known joy. You have known love. And you've also known pain and doubt and guilt when we've made poor decisions. But let's take this journey to the core of what it's about, because if we take that journey, we're going to find what it means to be fully human, and we're going to eventually grab this culture by the collar and just start to, you know, shake it up a little bit. You know, friends, that's really what one of the most powerful things. I remember doing this in the Masters at the John Paul II Institute. One of the most powerful things that allowed Christianity to seize hold of the Roman Empire was the extraordinary witness of marriage and family life. Now, I mean that. I sat in a lecture, you know, going deeply through this stuff. The church's early positions on divorce, the church's early positions on infanticide, the church's early positions on fidelity, love, parenting, marriage. This took the Roman Empire by storm, this witness, and that's what we need. Witnesses to true human love. But let me do this early. If you want to take this journey, it's going to be very hard. You will be laughed at. You will be misunderstood. There will be times when you will be lonely. You will be unsure. There will be so many easy paths for you to take. Friends, you know, at the back end of a six-pack of VB and when the base is going doof-doof, I mean, it is not hard to make a poor choice. And maybe some of you just choked when I said that. Maybe some of you laughed. But you get my point. Let's be real. Friends, the church's position on intimacy and sex and relationships, you know, this is Daniel living in Babylon here. And I don't want to give you a negative view of culture because my personal view, a lot like Chaput and Dolan and other bishops, is like, we got to get out there amongst it. I'm not one for sort of saying, well, let's just run away and hide and live in a cave. But this is Babylon, friends. This is a culture that is inimical and opposed to the witness that the church is calling us to bring. But you know what? Game on, huh? I mean, let us not die of boredom here. You know, often I say to groups of young men, get in the game. Get in the game. And you look at the life of people like St. Thomas More. He could have just shut the hell up and just quietly gone along with it. But friends, it was like, I cannot. I know too much. And I want to give you a final quote from Peter Kreef, which is going to point us in the direction that we're going to be taking over time. And he's talking here about, you know, sexual intercourse, sexual intimacy. But listen to where he takes us in this short quote. He says, because it's one of the few things that is literally an ecstasy. The word means standing outside yourself, self-forgetfulness, self-transcendence, the overcoming of that hidden inner loneliness that every one of us brings into the world. Our I is restless until it becomes a we. And ultimately, that is because God is a we. There's a little clue there of where we're going to travel in the weeks ahead. The great communio personarum. The fact that in our own bodies we're going to be mirroring something of what takes place in the heart of the eternal Trinity, friends. You can do whatever the hell you want. But God is not mocked. And what we do is some things are going to make us happy because of what we are. The great battleground of the human person. What is a person? Who are you? What will make you happy? These are the questions we want to track. So friends, in the weeks ahead, I look forward to sharing more and more stuff with you. Please make contact with the people at Cradio. Flip them emails, send them calls. I want to hear from you about the kind of things on sex, dating, relationships, intimacy that you would like to hear about. It's a great privilege to prepare this material. But I want you to take courage. I want you to have faith because there are things you can do. Tomorrow is going to be a good day. Good things are going to happen. You know, that we are not done yet, friends, in history. You know, Archbishop Chaput said the only thing certain in history is the triumph of Christ. That's it. Everything else is up for grabs, friends. Everything else is game on. And we need people now to step into culture, to live the truth of their bodies, to make the hard decisions and be witnesses to hope. I'm Jonathan Doyle. I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Hi again, and thanks for taking the time to enjoy another audio presentation from Jonathan Doyle at beingcatholic.com.au. We hope you can take a moment to recommend this message to friends, family, and colleagues by encouraging them to visit the website at www.beingcatholic.com.au. New content is being added all the time, and we look forward to welcoming you back in the time ahead.
Radio.org.au